Hi, I'm Anna Wolska with the Lupus Foundation of America, which is the founder and owner of the global peer-reviewed open access journal, Lupus Science and Medicine, that is published by BMJ. On today's episode, we will be discussing the paper entitled Belimumab versus Anifrolumab in Adults with Systemic Lupus Erythematosus, an indirect comparison of clinical response at 52 weeks, which was recently published in Lupus Science and Medicine Journal. We are joined by the authors of this article, Dr. Michelle Petrie, a professor of medicine at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine in Baltimore, Maryland, and Dr. Nick Ballou, a director and evidence synthesis lead at GSK Value Evidence and Outcomes in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. Dr. Petrie, Dr. Ballou, welcome. Let's begin. Dr. Petrie, I will start with you. In your study, you compared the efficacy results of research clinical trials of two biologics for lupus, belimumab and anifrolumab. Could you please tell us the main characteristics of these two treatments?
Anna, these are the only two biologics that are approved for lupus. Belimumab is a monoclonal antibody that targets BLyS, the B lymphocyte stimulator protein, which is also called BAF. It is FDA approved in both an IV and a sub-Q formulation for adults with active lupus or lupus nephritis. The intravenous formulation is approved for pediatric active lupus and lupus nephritis. Anifrolumab is also a monoclonal antibody, but it targets the interferon alpha receptor and therefore blocks the type 1 interferons. It is FDA approved in an IV formulation for moderate to severe lupus in addition to standard of care.
Could you please also tell us what are the main findings of your study?
We looked at the most important clinical response in lupus randomized clinical trials. It's called SRI-4. It's a combination of multiple instruments that we use to grade lupus activity. The SLEDA, the SLE Disease Activity Index, has to improve by 4 points, and there can be no worsening on two other instruments, BILAG and the Physician Global Assessment. There were 5 different belimumab trials and 3 different anifrolumab trials that could be included in the analysis. And it turns out, after some very complicated modeling that was done by the biostatisticians, that the efficacy of both treatments was comparable, with an odd ratio point estimate of 1.04, basically equivalent. Another way of stating it is that there was a 0.58 probability that belimumab was more effective and a 0.42 probability for anifrolumab. But again, probably equivalent. Now, the results were consistent across what we call sensitivity analyses, so we think they are robust. But this kind of analysis can't completely rule out the possibility that there was a clinically meaningful benefit that we missed.
Were you able to look at any other outcomes?
There are other outcomes that are important, including a BILAG-based outcome called BICLA and the SLIC ACR Damage Index. But it wasn't possible to look at those outcomes because they weren't recorded in all the available trials. And perhaps one thing that really concerns both clinicians and patients is looking at glucocorticoid reduction. But there was an important difference in the study designs. In the anifrolumab randomized clinical trials, there was a prednisone reduction by protocol that wasn't part of the belimumab trials, so we weren't able to look at that outcome.
Dr. Ballou, How did you perform your analysis that allowed you to compare the efficacy results of these two different biologics based on the multiple completed research clinical trials?
We utilized an indirect treatment comparison study design. And given that indirect treatment comparisons must rely on the existing evidence base, the first thing we needed to do in order to identify all of the eligible trials was conduct a systematic literature review that adhered to the Cochrane collaboration and preferred reporting items or systematic reviews and meta-analyses guidelines. We then conducted a comprehensive feasibility assessment of the evidence base to determine which indirect treatment comparison approach, if any, was appropriate for each of the outcomes of interest. For SRI-4, there were differences across the trials in population characteristics that were expected to introduce bias, some in favor of anifrolumab, as was the case with baseline SETI2K, and some in the favor of belimumab, as was the case with low C3, low C4, and anti-double-stranded DNA. To account for these observed differences and make the necessary population adjustments, we implemented a multi-level network meta-regression model, with individual patient data from the belimumab trials informing the population adjustments. Importantly, the individual patient data was a large sample of over 3,000 patients from a sufficiently broad population, which is a key requirement when conducting a population-adjusted indirect comparison. We determined that a multi-level network meta-regression was the most appropriate population-adjusted indirect comparison approach because, in contrast to other methods that can only model two trial evidence scenarios, multi-level network meta-regression was able to model the actual network structure of our evidence base, which consisted of 8 trials. Several sensitivity analyses were also conducted to assess the robustness of our results, for example, to alternative sets of population characteristics for adjustment and alternative population adjustment methods.
Are there any limitations to this study?
Yes, in our publication, we discuss several limitations and their potential implications in depth. One of the main limitations of our study is that our efficacy analyses were limited to a single outcome, SRI-4, and could only be conducted at 52 weeks. Analyses with other efficacy outcomes and at other time points would have allowed for a more complete understanding of the comparative efficacy profile of belimumab versus anifrolumab, though, as touched on earlier, this was not possible. Within our analyses of SRI-4, there were also limitations. For example, there were differences across trials in the definition of SRI-4, such as the approach to joint scoring for the SLEDAI component, and also the version of the BILAG instrument for the BILAG component. Additionally, it is possible that there may have been important differences in other population characteristics across the trials that we did not adjust for that may have confounded our estimate of the relative effect of belimumab versus anifrolumab. For example, body mass index and smoking status are two such characteristics. Regarding BMI, we believe bias is unlikely based on the available BMI information for some of the trials. However, the potential for differences across the trials and the proportion of smokers to confound our results is unknown.
One final question that I have to you, Dr. Petrie, is that you conclude in your paper that there is an unmet need to identify robust predictors towards more personalized selection of available biologics for lupus. Would you please share with us your ideas on how this could be accomplished?
We have some simple rules in the treatment of lupus. One is that we would like hydroxychloroquine to be background therapy in nearly all patients. And we want to avoid prednisone because of its short-term and its long-term toxicity. We have a few rules when we pick immunosuppressive drugs. We like some for some organs and not for others. We know that there's an important difference in the natural history of lupus. Some patients have a flare pattern, and other patients always have active lupus. But we don't have any rules that can help us with most of this. And in particular, we don't have any rules for our biologics or for the new small molecule or for anything that's coming down the pike. We know that the biologics and the new treatments are going to have their specific mechanisms of action. Lupus is so heterogeneous that we have to match the mechanism of action to what has gone wrong in that patient. And we don't even have any guarantee that this will be static. It may change over time in that patient. So we need biomarkers. We need to be able to subset patients scientifically so we can pick the right treatment for the right patient at the right time.
Definitely very important. All right. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Petrie and Dr. Ballew. Would you like to give any acknowledgments?
I think we really want to thank the patients who gave their time to be in these trials, the coordinators, the investigators at the sites, all of the industry collaborators who did both the belimumab and the anifrolumab trials, and the entire lupus community, because we're all here for one and one reason only, is to save the lives of patients with lupus and to someday cure it.
Yes, I would really like to just echo what Dr. Petrie stated and thank again the patients that participated in the trials and the entire lupus community.
Thank you. That was Dr. Petrie and Dr. Ballew describing the research on the indirect treatment comparison of belimumab and anifrolumab in adults with systemic lupus erythematosus. I'm Anna Wolska. Thanks for listening, and please don't forget to tune into the next episode of our podcast.